Welcome to Theatre Audience Podcast. I'm Natalie, joined by Darren, and we bring you the news, reviews and recommendations of the latest theatre.
We'll be discussing what's on, what's been and gone, and the next hot ticks.
Hello, Natalie.
Hey, Darren. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well. I had a lovely day doing a bit of painting.
Oh, nice. What are you painting?
Oh, just some outside works, just whilst the weather's a bit better at the minute, just some stuff that needed doing. So, getting there.
Nice. Good, good. I've been watching my GCSE. I've been doing teching the GCSE performances. They've got their exam this week. So, Slow Time, Roy Williams, and Leaves by Lucy Caldwell. So, yeah, just getting it going.
We're looking forward to hearing more about that. But this episode is going to be more about me, isn't it? Because I'm the only one who's seen something this week.
It's going to be completely about you, because I've been all busy being, you know, an A-level examiner and the GCSE preparing my students and stuff. I have, however, got a lovely, lovely green tea. So, tell me what you've been seeing and I'll see what I have to say. Looking forward to it.
Well, whilst I drink my peppermint tea, the first show I'm going to talk about is Kim's Convenience, which is at the Park Theatre in the larger space, Park 200. Now, I am a massive fan of the TV show out on Netflix by the same name and by the same writer, Inns Choi. Now, I believe it started off as a play and then it was turned into a Netflix comedy. It's one of those comedies on Netflix where they're about 20-odd minutes long, so it's just nice short spurts. And they're really fun, like really funny. It gives you a kind of insight into the kind of like Korean family life in Canada. And it centers around the, it's called Appa, which is basically the dad of the family that runs this convenience store in a town in Canada. And it's hilarious. It really is hilarious. And what I loved about the stage play was it really is for the fans of the TV show. Now, what is interesting, because I am such a fan of the TV show, is that some of the scenes that was on stage I've seen in the Netflix show. So that's quite interesting. I thought, oh my God, I know exactly how that plays out. And like the scene with the daughter and the policeman and how the dad interferes with that and all that kind of thing. So again, I don't think you lose anything by not knowing what happens in the TV show. But it certainly made the experience much more enjoyable for me because I kind of knew what to expect and stuff. So it's lovely seeing it all play out live on stage, definitely.
Amazing. I've not seen the TV show, so I guess you recommend it if you're a big fan. I need to start watching this. I do love a 20-minute Netflix. I do. I really do. Especially if it's comedy, because it's just that bite size, isn't it? And maybe I need to watch this. So tell me more. How did it compare?
Well, okay, how did it compare? Obviously, it's a live experience. You're seeing the main characters of the piece, which is basically the mum, dad, and the son and daughter, which you see, again, in the TV version. And then you've got all the other parts in the stage version played by Miles Mitchell, and he plays, like, the policeman and... I don't know, the robber who comes in to steal the shoplifter and stuff and all these different characters. So he plays multi-character role and the others play their single characters. So you've got Brian Law who plays Jung, Jennifer Kim who plays Janet, Nanji Go plays Amma, who's the mum, and then you've got Inns Choi, who's the creator, who's actually in the show, called Appa, who's the dad. And it's just comedy gold. I mean, there's some things that are a little bit offensive, but they're not offensive because they are told by someone who is not white, if that makes any kind of weird sense. So, yeah. So it's interesting to see their take on things from a Korean's point of view. So, yeah. But I really enjoyed it. I really did. I mean, the show is sold out. I mean, it's only on until the 10th of February. So it's quite a limited season, as often the shows are at the Park Theatre. But I've been to see whether or not it does something after. Maybe a small tour, maybe even move on to somewhere else in town. I don't know. But I really did enjoy it. It's very funny. Some laugh out loud comedy gold moments. All the performances were wonderful. None of them, as it were, are the same people who is in the TV show. The only connection to the play is Inns Choi, who's the creator of both. And he happened to be in it playing the dad. But I thought it was great. I really, really did. And it's interesting because looking at the blurb on the website and reading actually that the main characters, the Korean characters, are actually from Canada or from certain parts of America. So their accents are authentic and stuff like that, which is really nice as well. And Brian Law, I actually recognized from seeing something he'd done in London before, which I thought actually when I saw him on stage. And Miles Mitchell has done a whole load of British theatre, from RSC, National Theatre and stuff. So a really, really good all-round cast. And so I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, yeah, I don't know. I think you missed out on this one, Natalie, to be fair. I really do think you did.
Do you think for someone who hasn't seen the TV show that it would just come, that you'd just get it? It just come to life? Different experience, but is it something that you could see if you haven't watched the TV show?
I think so, because it just portrays family life in a convenience store for a Korean family with all these trials and tribulations, stuff that goes on between father and daughter and mother and son and brother and sister and stuff. And with this, because there were smaller roles coming in and out throughout, it was played by one actor, and that worked wonderfully as well. I mean, it was a short piece. It was only about, I think, 18 minutes straight through. So it went sound through. It was really good, really fun. So, yeah. But I'm really glad I got to see it. I almost didn't, though, because the tickets had pretty much sold out, and the lovely box office team managed to squeeze me in, so I was really thrilled about that.
Were there any characters in it that you saw in the TV series that weren't in the play, and therefore you were like, oh, you know, when we saw the 40 Towers, for example, and it was just the three members of cast, and we didn't get to see the Connie Booth character, and we were a bit like, oh, that character was missing. Was there any of that?
Yeah, well, the son in the TV version, he works for a car dealership type thing, like a rental car, and his best mate, who he lives with, wasn't in the stage play. And also his boss is quite this kind of funky, crazy, eccentric woman who's basically trying to woo him and date him, but he's not interested. So there's a few characters that are in the TV show that wasn't on the stage, but it didn't matter because ultimately it's centered around the father-son relationship and the mother-daughter and vice versa stuff relationship. So yeah, it works really well. And like I said, you know, you didn't necessarily have to see the TV show because it portrayed a snapshot of what it's like for a Korean family living in Canada, first generation as well. So the two children were born in Canada and raised there, where the parents were originally from Korea and came over to set up a life for themselves. And it's interesting as well that the whole convenience store thing, because I guess in the UK, we see the convenience store, it was a similar thing, but with an Asian population. And in the US, well, at least Canada, it's like more, still Asian, but the Korean connection as well. So, but yeah, it's really fun. Yeah. And the design was really nice as well, because they had created the convenience store very similar to what it was on the stage. On the TV, as it was on the stage. And that was designed by Mona Camille. And that was really cool. And yeah, it was, yeah, good. Yeah, really enjoyed it. So I'm really pleased I said I got to see it. So yeah.
Yeah. Hope it has more life so that I can get to see that one. So you went to see Rehab the Musical. Sounds great. Where was this now?
Rehab the Musical is a kind of a relatively new venue called Neon 194. And ultimately, it's a bar, but they downstairs, they kind of utilize the space really well done, actually, and turn it into a small, almost like a studio theatre space. And it works really, really well. Especially works really well for this musical and a rehab, a player or a musical about rehab in a bar. Which is interesting because of the whole take on AA and stuff like that, whatever. So, yeah, but it's in the downstairs room, which has been perfectly turned into the setting for this musical. It's transferred from the Playground Theatre, which was on back in 2023. So the setting for the piece is actually in a rehab centre. I mean, you're in there are the therapists and all the other, I wouldn't say patients, but the people, the addicts there. I mean, they got some bonkers addicts. They got a guy who's in there because he's addicted to tanning, which is wonderfully played by John Barr. Very, very comedy, very great, great fun from him. But Keith Allen, he's the main star, I guess, of the piece, plays the bad guy manager who's trying to cash in on his client's misfortune. So his client is a singer that's basically OD'd on everything from drugs, alcohol, whatever. And basically he's sent to rehab to sort himself out. Otherwise he goes to prison. And there's some really comedy songs there, which I can't actually say the name of on the podcast. Could have to tick that explicit box. But, you know, you get my gist. So it's very much a dark comedy. I mean, like, yeah, with no stretch of the imagination, it's very, very dark. But like I say, Keith Allen plays the kind of like the baddie. You've got Jodie Steele, who plays a wonderful turn as his doting assistant, who I think, although I love Jodie Steele, I remember seeing her in Heathers and Six. And to me, in this show, she was underused in the sense that I just wanted her to sing more, be more on stage, because she is so terrific to watch. But what she did do was done brilliantly. And then we had the soulful tones of Misha Paris. Misha Paris, she plays the therapist who's trying to help these lost souls to find their better selves through the 12 steps and other bits of therapy and the group chats and the sharing time, all that kind of thing. So it was really good. And then there was a wonderful performance by Maya Quansah Breed. I can never get these names out. I'm prodigies in advance. But she is absolutely wonderful. Beautiful voice. I could listen to again and again. Her character is lured by the evil manager to do unspeakable things, only to do the right thing in the end, which I won't tell you about because obviously I don't think there's any spoilers and stuff. But the whole cast were wonderfully directed by Gary Lloyd, who created a wonderfully balanced piece, which was engaging, funny, and with a powerful story to it. Like, wonderful, wonderful things going on. With regards to how people are in rehab, fighting addiction, whether it be drugs, alcohol, sex, tanning. I've never heard of a tanning addiction, you know.
Tanorexia. I'm just making it up.
Yes, you never know. Something like that, you know. You can't tan enough or something, I don't know. But yeah, it was really good fun.
There are rules with that, though. But there are rules with that. Apparently, in a tanning salon, you can only go and do a certain amount of minutes a day. You can't make a second visit in a day. So some people go to three different tanning places on a high street. They are addicted. Someone was telling me about it the other day. It was interesting. I know.
I don't know the last time I had a tanning session, actually.
That's because you've just come back from Spain.
I know, but Spain in the winter, it's not exactly like sunbathing, is it? But I mean, I just like, I don't have that appeal to, I don't know, to go to a tanning salon, I guess. I think I did a lot in my 20s.
There you go.
Definitely did that then, but I think I just grew out of fashion. When was your last tanning session?
Ironically, very recently, but I hadn't done one for about 2 years.
Oh dear.
It's a January thing.
Yeah, possibly. Just to brighten yourself up, make you feel good. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, you need vitamin D.
Well, it's just to feel the warmth on your face. Yeah, it's just to feel that, you know, that close your eyes and feel like you're abroad, except you're really not. You can hear the radio and it's and there's tubes in front of you. But anyway, yeah, moving on.
Moving on. No, but like I said, it was a great all-star cast, ensemble cast. It was really fun. I'm really glad I got to see it. It's front row, middle. It's in the round. So, you know, there was no bad seats, as it were. I really liked it. And it was nice to hear Misha Paris sing live. It's been a long time since I've heard her sing live. And like I said, with Maya and Jodie, wonderful, wonderful performances and great voices, because listen to them all day. The main guy is Christian Maynard, and he's the young kind of like, I wouldn't say victim, because he's not a victim, but he's the pop star that's been thrown in there, otherwise he goes into prison. And then naughty things by Keith Allen's character, the manager, makes certain things difficult for him inside. But it all turns around really well, and it has a very happy ending, as it were. But it's definitely, as it says on the website, a must-see show of 2024. I really, really enjoyed it. And I think if you're looking for just an upbeat, fun musical, this is the one for you, definitely.
Oh, well, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it is. And just a bit of a fact thing here, as it's got it on the website. It says between April 2020 and March 2021, over 130,000 people actively entered treatment for addiction. Can you imagine?
Really?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's what he says. Moving on from rehab, I did visit the Royal Court on the weekend for a matinee. You know how I love a matinee.
Oh, you love a matinee.
And I saw Cowboys.
Oh, what's this one about then?
I do love a matinee.
Other than Cowboys.
Oh, Cowboys was so much fun. When the press office sent the blurb out, I immediately wrote back and said, I've got to see this one. I just loved what it had to say. And yeah, it didn't disappoint. It really didn't. So what it does, it gender sexuality flips what's really well in this piece, where the characters play with gender and sexuality roles. So the writing has been structured sensitively without being preachy, which is really important. And it's very funny and informative in part. So the setting of the Midwest was perfect. So basically, they're all speaking English. They're not doing American accents and stuff, which is good. But it is set in the Midwest, in cowboy world. So the men have gone. This is the story. So the men have gone. They've gone looking for gold. So the women have been left to take care for themselves until the arrival of a handsome bandit named Jack. Now, Jack was wonderfully played by Vinnie Heaven, and who brought a new energy to the town that challenged the lives of everyone there. So at least the characters we met on stage. But Jack's arrival inspired a gender revolution that, as said in the blurb, starts the fire under the petticoat of every one of the town's repressed inhabitants. And they really do. So you've got all these women that are bored. You know, they're doing their day-to-day mundane stuff. You've got the sheriff is the only man apparently left in the town that's a drunk. So he's just there basically drinking the whole time. And then once this Jack arrives, everything spins around and turns on its head. And the women folk, they have a new like spark in their lives. And the sheriff becomes sober. He gets moving on from the rehab addiction here. He becomes sober. And all these wonderful things start to happen to the people there. And what I mean by that, they start to question their sexualities, their gender roles, all these sort of things. And it works really, really well. And as I said before, it's done in a really sensitive way. The writing is impeccable. Oh, God, what's I going to say about this? So Charlie Josephine wrote the piece, and co-wrote it with Sean Holmes. Sorry, co-directed it with Sean Holmes, and it works really, really well. It just plays on different levels of what you expect and what you could become with regards to how you are with your gender and sexuality. There's a wonderful all-round ensemble cast. I mean, no one was a specific standout because they worked really, really well together, but there was some really cool moments from Lucy McCormick, who literally was some suppressed woman who was waiting for her husband who she thought was never going to come back. And then she started to have this affair with another cast member, one of the other women. And then you got the Miss Lillian, who is played by Sophie Melville, who's the landlady of the bar that's there. Again, waiting for her husband. Then she ends up having an affair with Jack, who's the outlaw that's come in. And then all these wonderful things start happening there. A really funny turn by Julian Moore Cook, who plays James when he comes back. So at the just before the interval, the men return and then everything goes wrong and in very comedy in comedy ways. And but yeah, it was great. It was really, really fun. It was a kind of piece I'd actually like to see again if I get a chance. It's part of the best things I think I've seen at the Royal Court for a while. And I think the programming at Royal Court is really coming about again. It's getting stronger and stronger. I mean, the Royal Court is that place where new writing and talent starts to emerge and try things out. You know, I don't think this play would have worked at any other theatre, to be fair. I think the Royal Court championing this style of writing and the themes that come through in this piece has done a terrific job here, a really, really good job. LJ Parkinson, who comes into the second act, again, playing Charlie Parkhurst, who's another outlaw that changes things again, this time for the men. But it was just really, really good. I mean, yeah, the second act has another unexpected twist. And then, yeah, it's a lot of humour on stage, a lot of humour.
Oh, it sounds brilliant. How long is it running to? I'd quite like to see it. If you are going to see it again, I'll come with.
It's finishing on the 10th of February, so it's coming up quite soon.
Oh, it's tight. Yeah, we've got a lot on.
So that's what I mean. We've got a lot going on, yeah.
Got 4 or 5 shows before then. Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, it sounds brilliant. So highly recommended from you. Buy a ticket. Go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Grace Smart did the design and it's wonderfully done. It works really, really well for the stage, for the piece. I couldn't fault it at all. I really, really enjoyed watching it. Again, matinee. It's quite a busy matinee, which is nice. It was good. It was very good, in fact. Yeah, so I'm really pleased I got to see it. So thank you very much to the press office for inviting us along. I would actually like to speak to some of the cast at some point, if possible, because just to see, their involvement in it and stuff. Because, again, not to give too much away, but there's certain characters, they start playing with their sexuality and their gender, and they start transitioning in different ways, and all sorts of stuff goes on. And it's like I said, it's written very, very well. It's directed beautifully. It's very sensitively done. Not preachy. There's nothing preachy about it. It's really, really good. Mm.
Well, do you know what? It just sounds really interesting. And the three pieces that you've seen, the three productions that you've seen this week, they're all modern. They're all contemporary, about contemporary themes and issues. And it's just, I love the way that theatre is moving with the times. And, so you've got Kim's Convenience, about a convenience store, funny, looking at different cultures as well. Rehab the Musical, looking at, really contemporary issues and everyday lives, but then throwing that into a musical. And then the production that you just talked about, it's just, I love it. I love that there's just so much diversity.
Yeah, we're very spoiled in London. I think there's a lot going on, as always. But as you said, the Rehab, the musical, again, the way it touched on addiction was really sensibly done. I mean, there was the comedy thing about the tanning. I mean, maybe there is a tanning anonymous. I don't know. But there's other addicts in there as well. Obviously, there was to do with food, alcohol, drugs, sex. There was someone talking about their sex addiction and stuff. So they again, it was done. Yeah, there's probably some kind of addiction or something of all sorts of random things I've never even heard of before. It on the main topics, it touched it and it did it really well and very sensitively. And actually, a friend of mine was there that night who's a addiction counsellor, and he was really impressed on how well it was actually handled. Although it is very funny and there are some incredibly comical moments. There's still a heart to it and a strong message surrounding it, which is what's really, really important. And that's the same as Cowboys. Ultimately, we're laughing out loud. There's some incredibly comedic moments. There's some brilliant performances by everybody. I mean, Emma Pallant, just going on her as a Sally Ann, I loved her so much. She was brilliant in everything she did on stage, everything from moving her eyes. They did this thing with a fan, where if they were being a bit coy about something, they'd start waving their fan really fast in front of their faces and things. So, it's just little things like that, which is where the direction was really, really strong. But again, it was so well put together. Again, done very sensitively, done with a real heart and a message attached to it, and told in a very unique way. And I love the fact that it was set in the Midwest with all British accents. They didn't have to pretend that they were American stuff, because that wasn't what it was about. It wasn't important. So strong characters, brilliant performances, and all the three things I've just talked about. Really, really thrilled I got to see them. And three lots of comedy. So nothing made me cry this time, which is nice.
Well, that's good. Cry with laughter. That's how we'll leave it. Leave everyone crying with laughter. And recommending tickets for all of those, apart from Kim's Convenience, for which they've sold out.
Yes, which is great news for British theatre.
Why not grab a ticket to one of the shows mentioned in this podcast? Tune in next time and recommend us to your friends and family.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Theatre Audience Podcast and on Twitter at Theatre Audie Pod. Until the next time, goodbye and thank you for listening.